for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, April the 20th, 2003. Final service of the Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Clement Humbard of Lake Hamilton Bible Campground is the minister of the morning.
Said this, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Now, who said that? He is the great I am. He said in John, the 8th chapter, verse 24, except you believe that I am, not I am he, that's a mistranslation. Unless you believe I am the great I am of the burning bush in Exodus 3:14, you have no life in you. He said, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. 8:24. 8:26, the Lord Jesus Christ said, we better heed it. He said, when I'm uplifted, and I'm uplifted, hanging on the cross, you'll know that I am. These Pharisees and religious leaders says, who does he think he is? He said, Abraham saw my day and is glad. They said, you're not yet 50 years of age, and you said, you've seen Abraham? Then in John 8:58, he said, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
The Bible said, in the fullness of God is in him. That simply means everything we need in human life is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He's the solution. He is the supplier of every need. Now here he said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh that I will give for the life of the world. They said, how can this man give us his flesh? Verse 53, he said, truly I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. This implies that that life is not just to enjoy, but from the original text, that that life must produce life. Wrapped up in that verse. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Then he said this, I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now they began murmuring and said, why, this is a hard saying. To eat the flesh and drink the blood of someone, this is very difficult. And Jesus said this to his disciples. It said from that moment, many of his disciples turned back. Because of the hardness of the talk and implying the hardness of the walk. Jesus turned and asked his disciples here, are you going to leave also? And they said, Lord. Peter said, where would we go? And I'll ask you and me, if you ever felt like running out, laying out, playing hooky, where are you going to go? There's no other place to go. We're hemmed in.
Amen.
We're in this thing. The Holy Spirit of God's working.
Yeah.
You can't get away. I can't get away. We're in it for life. We're in it for eternity. But many, verse 6, many didn't walk any longer with him. And Jesus said, will you go also away? And he said, I've chosen you. Now, to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given us commandment, the Lord Jesus Christ did in the Gospels, and to fulfill type and antitype, what did the Lord do that probably Wednesday or Tuesday night? He gathered his own in an upper room and he started celebrating the old Passover feast day. And then he changed that feast day to what we call Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. Now, this is real vitally important. That's why we're taking a little time. This is not the message, unless God wants it just to be that way. But we're taking a little time. We had communion this week already, and the presence of God met us, and we all rejoiced and wept for 2.5 hours. One dear Christian leader in the community said this, my God, I've been blessed and I've seen things I've never seen before about communion. We're not going to get in real details on communion, but I want to remind you of a few things. Apostle Paul had revelations of God. He wasn't in the upper room. He was an apostle called out of due season. But you know what he said? He said this, that he received of the Lord, that's in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 23, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, we're human beings. We have this earthly treasure, or this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. And it's a crying shame in a fast age, and like in America, the communion service in our churches. Thank God we make some effort. Maybe God understands some of this. But did you not know he said, do it in remembrance of me. And you show forth the Lord's death that Mildred was proclaiming to us again this morning. The Lord's death. His suffering. His voluntary death for redemption of the world. And he said, you show forth the Lord's death till I come again. And he said, this bread is my body. Then he said, many are sick and weakly, not distinguishing, making a difference between the cup and the bread. The bread is his body. It's through the bruised, broken body of Christ that you have healing for your body. You have Romans 8:11. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken, make alive your mortal body. Actually, believers ought to take Holy Communion, maybe in your own home or by yourself or with other believers every day. I don't do it, but I'm convinced that we should do it. Home communion. But it's hard with ushers in the aisles and all the rest and how we do things and so forth and so on. And in mass, the elements, the bread and the wine or the bread and the cup, it's hard for we Americans to really focus. Now, you think you're guilty too. I'm not the only one to focus on the Lord at that time. If a minister would probably stand in the pulpit and say, now, you have the elements, and let's just put our mind on Jesus 5 minutes. There's not a one in that congregation can do it. I've tried it in prayer groups. I've tried it in my own church to get people to focus 5 minutes on the Lord. Then to honestly tell us what happened. One man said, I kept thinking of the Statue of Liberty. And then I'd say, wait a minute here. Sure, my family's going to the Statue of Liberty, but I'm getting my mind on Jesus. It just went off in another direction. It's hard to bring every disobedient thought into captivity, but God will help us do it. But see, you do this in remembrance of Jesus. And then it is a healing service When you take that bread, you are accepting resurrection life and healing for your physical body. The Holy Spirit gives us life, not only eternal life. We try to limit it, you know, to eternal life. But the Word of God doesn't distinguish between it. The Holy Spirit gives us eternal life, and it gives us our physical life. Without the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, you wouldn't have a next heartbeat. It's God's Holy Spirit giving you life. That's resurrection power. Now, through the bruised, broken body of Christ, we have healing and physical strength. Every communion service should be a resurrection life service. People should be healed all through the audience. You're taking life into. The Bible said, your bone of his bone, your flesh of his flesh, and he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You familiar with that? All right. Is there any sickness in the body of Christ? Then what business do I have being sick? Then the precious, incorruptible blood, the cup, forgiveness of sins, man's only hope. I mentioned one time an airplane was in trouble, an airliner. And I had a pilot's license and did some flying myself. Very little in anything larger than a DC-3 or a two-engine commander, but that plane, boy, the crew knew it. The stewardess knew it. They ran and locked themselves in the pilot's cabin and never did finish serving breakfast to people. They knew we were in trouble. But I thought, what do I say when I meet Jesus? And Dr. Noel, I made up my mind what I was going to say if I met him in the next few moments. I was going to say, saved by the blood of the crucified one. That's our only hope. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You've got to trust that that blood made atonement for the sins of the world and for everybody's sins. The Bible said we're saved by his death. How much more? By his resurrection. We're justified by the resurrection. But the precious blood of Jesus, the Bible said, let a man, here in this scripture in Corinthians, let a man examine himself. Let a believer examine himself. When you take Holy Communion, it's not, oh God, now speak to my husband while we're doing this. God, speak to my neighbor. God, I don't like that associate pastor. Get him straight. No. Let a man examine himself. It's you and Jesus. You and the Lord. And then we partake. Now, I invited all over America, and I invited in the temple in Ohio for many years, and I was highly criticized. I invited everybody to take communion. First of all, he said it's communion of the body of Christ and discerning the body. When you have closed communion, if there's other believers in that congregation, you are not discerning the body of Christ, and you could be eating and drinking damnation to you. Not discerning the body. First of all, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the literal body that went to the whipping post and to Calvary. The second thing, you're not discerning the body of Christ. Every believer that is born again and in that body of Christ, we should have communion with. 1 John 5:1 said, if you love God that begetteth the people, you love everybody that's begotten of him. Wow. So, we acknowledge the body of Christ. We're bone of his bone, we're flesh of his flesh, and we're connected to each other. When you're yoked to Jesus, he said in Matthew, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But if you take all of God's Word, study in all of the Gospels and the words of Jesus, you'll find we also are yoked to our brother and sister in the Lord. It's a triple yoke. First to Christ, and then to one another. All right? We focus on Jesus. We remember him till he comes again. Then we make a distinction between the cup, the bread, the body, and the blood. Through the body, healing, resurrection life. Through the blood, forgiveness of every sin, of every shortcoming, of every mistake. And like I mentioned in sins last night, did you get anything out of that? But there's sins of commission, and sometimes we don't even know. There's sins of ignorance. We didn't know, and the Holy Spirit shows us later where we fail God in conversation or something else. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, if we confess. But I said that I always invited everybody. Then not only this, I invited every sinner in the place to take communion. And I do this morning. If you recognize the significance of it, and it said, do not drink or eat unworthily, that's without due respect. What greater time for people to be saved than if communion is presented correctly, that it's through the death and burial and resurrection of Christ and through His shed blood that you have forgiveness of sins. So I've had people that take Holy Communion and come down the aisle at the end of the service and confess Christ as Savior. I was highly criticized for this, and I never did justify it. I just went on and did it. Then later I found out in the works of John Wesley, he and others did the same thing. They invited sinners. If they knew what they were doing, that is a confession of faith. So, if the men would come at this time, we're going to have prayer over these elements. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, this 11th chapter, to take this off, but in the 10th chapter, the 16th verse said, the cup of blessing. This is going to be a cup of blessing to each one of us. Today, what are we going to do? Focus on Jesus. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. We're making a distinction between the bread and the cup. You say, maybe I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. It's only through His grace and His mercy. You're worthy if you'll have faith and do it.
That's right. Amen.
So not a one of us should have any blemish of sin after this communion. Now I'll go a little step further. None of us have a right to stay in any sin after this communion. None of us have a right or authority to stay in sickness or disease after this communion. Either God's word is true or it's not true. I didn't write it. You say, well, I can't believe God for a miracle. Can you believe Him? For they begin to amend from that moment on. That is still healing. You might not have a miracle healing, but God will heal you. He'll keep His word if you just exercise faith. Believers, lift your hand with me. Thank you, Lord God. O Thou King of kings, Thou Lord of lords, Thou great I am, the miracle worker, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We do this in remembrance of You. We do this in remembrance of You that were whipped at the whipping post, drug the cross up to Calvary, hung between heaven and earth in naked shame, finally crying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It is finished, and gave up the ghost. But 3 days later, raised from the dead, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and said, because I live, ye shall live also. Bless these elements, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely He bore our sorrows, and by His stripes we are healed. On the cross crucified, in great sorrow He died. The giver of life was He, But my Lord was despised and rejected of men. This Jesus of Calvary, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely hath borne our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed.
Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. May be seated. Jesus in the Gospel of John 11:25, concerning the death of Lazarus, although Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and one of the sisters said, by this time he stinketh. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Yea, Lord, I know that my brother will rise again at the resurrection day. Jesus looked back and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, sometimes we take this as just a pretty title that Jesus is resurrection. But this is the depth of New Testament Christianity from the Eastern thought, not the Western European thought that most of us, we are heritage and we're products of Western thinking. Here in the Eastern world, it's in being. It's not in doing. It's in being first and then you do. But in the Western world, it's doing, doing, saying, 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 never mind about the being. But being comes before doing in the revelation of Almighty God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and if a man dies, he'll live. But he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Now, the Bible said in 1 John 4:17, the last part of that verse, as he is, so are we in this present world. If he's resurrection, then I'm not saying I'm going to be resurrected someday. That's a general truth. It is known. But it says, I am a product of what he is. He took on divine nature. The human divine took on human nature that the human can take on divine nature. The whole story of God's redemption plan, all the way from the Garden of Eden in the fall, on end to the millennial ages in the future, the whole plan, God took on human nature that man can take on divine nature. Oh, you say that's silly. Oh, is it? How many believe he's the Son of God? Amen. But the Bible said, ye are sons of God. Now behold, we are sons of God. What? Do you believe he's the light of the world? Yes. He said, I'm the light of the world, and ye are lights in the world. Amen. Let your light shine. In 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, verse 21, it said, he that knew no sin, Jesus knew no sin, became sin. When he died upon Calvary, the whole underworld, heaven, angels, every demon, Satan, and the whole universe could point to Calvary and say, there's sin. He became, not only bore our sins, but he became the very principle, the principle of sin. Now, if you can understand some of these things, you can understand the basic truth concept in New Testament Christianity. It's not even salvation we're declaring. We declare a Savior. Then we become saved. after my miracle healing, walked out of the hospital healed of a serious heart attack, and they said open heart surgery, this and that and the other, and all the nuclear tests and all the rest. And I walked out of there healed by the power of God with a Band-Aid on and under no medication. One of the Baptist pastors said, you've got to come to our church and preach on healing. Said, we saw you in the meeting. You were a dead man. And my two deacons here with me, we saw it. If we ever saw anybody dead, you were dead. But said, I've never seen a miracle like this. Said, I want you to come on preaching in my Baptist church. I said, nothing doing. What? I said, no. I don't preach on healing. Well, I thought, I said, look, I don't preach on salvation. I preach the Savior. I don't preach on healing, how to get healed. I preach Christ the healer. Revelation 19:10, we better underline it, says the testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy. A lot of people run around Hot Springs, Garland County, and every other breath. It's Holy Ghost. And you know, they got a little thing in their voice that to the baby Christian or to the world sounds like arrogance. It sounds like pride. They say, I can't do it. But you, some of you know what I'm talking about. Every time they mention, they sort of raise their voice and say, Holy Ghost or something. And they all say it alike. I don't preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, although I did Sunday morning in a denominational church many years ago. And guess who was in the audience? Young Jack Hayford. He stood and had me to stand at a congregation in Florida a few months ago. Over 4,000 people at Calvary Assembly Sunday morning. He said to his wife, I'm so blessed. I went to Oral Roberts' meeting when I was a young man and found out how to be saved. But said, right after that, my church had a great crusade, and the Humbards came, and Clement got in the pulpit as a young man a Sunday morning and preached on, he it is that shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See, preach the mighty baptizer, and they'll get all the other. Preach the healer, and they'll get healed. Preach the mighty deliverer, and they'll get delivered. So praise God for His goodness and His mercy. Now you are a son of God. He that knew no sin became sin that we might do what? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Become the righteousness of God. You say, oh, I couldn't confess that. Then you'll never be. See, the Holy Spirit's got to use the Word of God in your faith before the action is taken place. Sometime it may be seconds, it could be minutes, it could be days. In Abraham's day, it's 25 years. Wow. Staggered not at the promise of God. Staggered not. Moses, he is 80 years old when God called him to deliver the children of Israel. Well, I am the righteousness of God. I am a son of God. See, by me confessing that, the Holy Spirit has something material in the unseen world to work on that I can become the righteous of God. If I won't confess it till I reach human perfection by my neighbors saying you're perfect. Perfection anyway, the Bible said, going unto perfection. Be you perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Everybody says, nobody's perfect. Quit talking like the world. If you have singleness of mind toward God, humility of heart, God counts you a perfect person. Amen. Regardless of any faults, shortcomings. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, and in weakness I am made strong. You and I stand in perfection, or if God took us this very moment, we could never get into heaven. He'd never say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I am a son of God. I am the righteous of God. I am a light in the world. As He is, so shall we. As He is, so are we. 1 John 4:17. In this present world. Now, quit asking God for love. Oh God, give me love. Let me love everybody. 1 John 4:4 said, God is love. God is love, and said, love one another. And as He is, so are you. As He who is, as God is love, so are you. Who us? In the sweet by and by. No, in this present world. If you'll start confessing, I am love in Jesus' name. I am love. I am the righteousness of God through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God. I am a son of God. But wait a minute. Here in Romans
6:5, the second part of the verse said, we shall also be resurrection. Uh-oh. It didn't say we shall also be resurrected. It said we shall also be resurrection. When he said, I am the resurrection life, the church is going to have to come to this fact someday. As he is, so are we in this present world, then I am resurrection. Not in the future. You say, I can't confess that. Well, don't you believe Romans 8:11? If that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll make alive, quicken your mortal body. Yes, Brother Clem, at the resurrection, when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ. Now, that scripture has nothing to do with the resurrection of a dead body. Get your Greek New Testament, get Young's or Strong's, and look, it is the body that is subject to death that you have right now is quickened by resurrection power if you'll start believing it. I am resurrection. As he is, so am I in this present world. Now, where am I leading with this thing? Boy, I have about 5 subjects, and I hope that I can mesh them together because they fit together, but I hope I can squeeze them down and compress them. The death of death is ahead of us. You say, hallelujah, you know, over in Iraq, yeah, 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 Babylon, yeah, yeah, Israel, yeah, 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 Gog and Magog, yeah. Listen, I believe in the prophetic word, 1/3 of God's word, but I've seen so many prophetic experts in my lifetime. Mussolini was with the Antichrist. Me and the preachers would get mad if you cross them. Yeah, then Hitler's the Antichrist. Then Herbert Hoover even was the Antichrist. The book with his fat face and said 666 on his jaws. I know this. They say this the Antichrist, that the Antichrist, this, that, and the other. Those whose name written in heaven will not take the mark, the Bible said. I don't worry who's Antichrist. I don't care. Antichrist spirit still on this earth, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4th chapter. If you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, God coming in the flesh, you are Antichrist and Antichrist spirit. But what? Now, there's some of you. Here's what it's going to say. There's some of you want a lot of escapism. Lord, come. Wouldn't it be easy? Lord Jesus, just come. But I want to tell you, it'd be easy to believe all of us are going to escape everything. But you know what? If Jesus comes today, that's fine with me. But I find Christ unanswered prayer. Father, I pray that they might be one, even as you and I are one. And it's not unity this way. It is by some of the truths I'm telling you right now in this I Am revelation. When you become what He is, and I become what He is, or a product of what He is, see, it's not horizontal. Oneness, unity may be horizontal. Oneness will present unity, but unity, you know, people say, let's get all the church together, this and that. God bless, and He can bless that kind of thing. He can bless the conservative, but that's not oneness. That's unity. When I become partaker of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4 said all these, that's important. 2 Peter 1:4, all of these promises in God's word are that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And that's presently while you're on this earth. So, if I become one, you become one. When we meet, we're one. One in Christ. What about that glorious church, Ephesians 5th chapter, last part of verse 25, 26, 27, that church without spot or wrinkle, preachers will say, and God bless them, they'll say, oh, someday even the church, when He comes back, it's going to be changed, and up we go, and it's a glorious church. Uh-uh. He's come back for a church that's already glorious. Go and read it. That has nothing to do with the rapture of the church anyway. Studied in the Greek, it says He wants to present it not to God the Father, not to heaven. It said He wants to present the church to Himself. And it says there, the term is that He wants to sit the church in heavenly places with Him, a church without spot or wrinkle. What are we going to do about these scriptures too? What are we going to do about this? For in Him we live and move and have our being.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah 40:21. What are we going to do about this? Numbers 14:21. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. What about this? Romans 8:18. The glory shall be revealed not to us, but the glory of God be revealed in us. What are we going to do about this scripture? Hebrews 2:10, the last part of the verse. Christ bringing many, captain of our salvation, bringing many sons. Many where? Many unto glory. How about Habakkuk 2:14? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's never happened yet. Psalm 72:19, the psalmist is singing and said, let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Now, if you'll study your Bible, the Bible said, whosoever will may be saved. We accept that. Bible said, this promise the Holy Spirit unto you, your children, even those that are far off. Acts 2nd chapter, many as our Lord God shall call. The Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled life and the upon anointing of the Holy Spirit is for whosoever will in everybody. Right? The same Bible said that all people and whosoever will is going to have the glory of God. So we have God the Son when we're saved. We have God the Spirit when we're filled with the Spirit. But wait, when we're saved and have the Son of God, you have God the Father and the Spirit, but through the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. That Z-O-E life is life of the Spirit, but you do not have the power, the dunamis power, the baptism, or power of the Spirit yet in your life. You have life of the Spirit. Thank God for it. But you only have the Holy Spirit through the Son and God the Father through the Son. Now you're filled with the Spirit. Praise God, I've arrived. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and praise God, I've arrived. All right. You have God the Son. You have God the Holy Spirit, but you only have God the Father through the Son and through the Holy Spirit. Now this thing began with in the Adam and Eve with garden in the Garden of Eden. And where was God? He dwelt with man. Salvation wouldn't be complete if we don't have a period of time ahead of us when God the Father is going to be back down on this earth. He's been to this earth before. Not through the Son and through the Holy Spirit, but God Himself. He is the great Emmanuel, and His presence is everywhere, the universal presence of God. If you make your bed in hell, He's there. If you soar up into the heavens, He's there. God's everywhere. Emmanuel, that's universal presence. But the manifest presence of Emmanuel is where someone has faith and believes, and some work is done. But there is another thing, and that is the Shekinah presence of God. Now, I've spent many, many hours and years studying this, and it's not my subject, but I just want to say, if you'll investigate and read God's Word long enough and perfect enough, you'll find out that I'm telling you the truth. God's glory, the Shekinah, not just the inspiration of the Spirit, there's the glory of Christ the Son. There's the glory of the Holy Spirit. Tells it in Corinthians, and Moses come down off of the mountain, and how his face was shining. But the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have not yet witnessed yet, is in a limited way in the tabernacle in the wilderness, a limited way in Solomon's temple. But here it said the glory of God is going to cover this earth. Now, in the glory of God, no sin or sickness or death can stand. Now, you understand where I'm trying to head. When Christ on this earth, through death, liberating the souls in hell,
3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, not Joseph's new tomb. Led captivity captive, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and Psalm 68. Led captivity captive, gave gifts to men, the rebellious also. And Psalm 68 said that God might dwell with them. It shows the ministry gifts of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11, is for the perfecting of the saints, equipping of the saints, the body become one. But what is the purpose? Psalm 68 already stated it. And it is that God might dwell among them. You don't have the fivefold ministry in a congregation or beg for it just to have it in itself. Take the gifts of the Spirit, for example. Well, praise God, we got some of the gifts working. Wait a minute. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter concerning spiritual gifts, they ought to exhort. What does the word exhort mean?
Build.
Build up. But the real meaning of that word exhort from ancient times meant a temple builder. So no wonder Haggai 2:9 said the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the former. In Zechariah, the sixth chapter, also I think in the fourth chapter, sixth chapter, and read some in the tenth, and it shows that the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says over and over, He is to build the temple of the Lord. Not talking about this temple. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's talking about something else. You say, well, praise God, He's referring to the church. It's not the church. He's referring not to the church at all. He's referring to a habitation for God the Father. So, you say, well, the church is the house. No, it's not. The church is the body of Christ, your members in particular. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, but He is the chief cornerstone of the house. Now, quit mixing the house with the body and quit making it simultaneous that Christ is the cornerstone of the body. He is the head of the body and the chief cornerstone of the house or the temple. And He is to build the temple of the Lord. That temple of God in the greater glory is when God the Father comes down and visits this earth again to make redemption absolutely complete. I don't know the period of time, but that Shekinah glory where God is, the Father, the glory is there. And I said, no sickness, no death at all. Now, when Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave, walked down the streets of Jerusalem on that resurrection morn, had the keys of death, hell, and the grave, He said, I'm the beginning, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, and I hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's the one that holds the keys. What did He do? When He threw His life, death, and burial, and resurrection, He put sin under His foot. In Psalms 110, it said, the Lord, Yahweh, said to my Lord, Yahweh. Doesn't make sense, does it? Quit trying to figure out the Godhead and all these things. Just believe it, preach it, obey it, let it become a part of you. We can understand enough to live right and be right, but that's about it. The Lord said to my Lord, come and sit by my side till I make thy enemies thy footstool. And He said, rule in the midst of thy enemies. That's not hereafter when He destroys enemies with fire out of His mouth. He said, rule in the midst. Now, how did Jesus Christ, what did He rule over? When Jesus was on this earth, He put sin under His feet. Amen? But you and I have got to put sin under our feet. See, now, if He conquered all sin, there wouldn't be any sin on this earth. But a person's got to believe, receive the gospel, get God's power, get the forgiveness of sin, and you put sin underfoot. He conquers sickness and disease, but it's not. Why isn't everybody well? Jesus paid for it. Why isn't everybody saved? Why isn't everybody healed? No. You and I have got to put sickness and disease under our foot. That's why in 1 Corinthians, the first in Ephesians 1:21 through through the next few verses, it said that the Lord is seated at the right hand of God, and it said that all things are under his feet, and it says the fullness, and the church is there with him, seated in heavenly places. Not in sweet by and by, but the sweet now and now. When Christ died, we died. When he's buried, we were buried. When Christ rose, we rose. When he ascended to the throne of God, we ascended to the throne of God to rule and reign with him now. In dominion. Now in conquering sin, underfoot. Sickness, disease, underfoot. Demonic power, underfoot. When you're raised up in the heavenlies with Christ, it involves much, but these things are under your feet. Fear, sin, sickness, disease, demonic forces, fear, under your foot. The old nature, under your foot. The human nature that defies God's under your foot. Poverty is under your foot. They say, how come that Humbert preacher is poor? I'm not poor, I'm rich. If I don't know where my next meal's coming from, I'm rich. Don't feel sorry for me. One that feeds a sparrow takes care of me.
Hallelujah.
John Wesley said, of all the men have seen you, and you none that has obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ's word, even ministers said, lay not for yourselves treasures on earth where moth doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. He said he didn't know one minister that is obeying that. We say, well, it's in Jesus' day. Sure, it's in Jesus' day, but these principles are same. So we put these things under our feet. But in the book of Hebrews, there are several scriptures, but in the book of Hebrews it says this. We see Jesus, chapter 2, verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He did what? Tasted death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make them captive salvation perfect through suffering. Now back up to chapter 1. And it said, I'm sorry, still chapter 2, verse 5. The angels, for unto the angel hath he not made in subjection the world to come, of which we speak, but in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, thou didst set him over the works of thy hand, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under his feet, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Go to chapter 10, verse 12. This man, after he had suffered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Chapter 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The enemy of sin, he destroyed. His enemies are our enemies. Our enemies are his enemies. But the last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is what? So to shirk our responsibility, to make it easy on us, so that we can keep just believing pie in the sky, be self-satisfied, what do? We put death out there. When Christ comes, he's going to conquer death. I've heard that over and over, but it is not true. I'll tell you why it's not true. Turn right quickly to 2 Timothy. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Amen. That means erased it, annulled it, brought it into oblivion. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Clem, I see where you're heading. I'm a Bible student. I see where you're heading. You know the Bible said, it's appointed unto men to die, and after death the judgment. That's right, if you're going to be a sinner. You say, well, the Bible said, for in Adam all die. And I'm all... Read the rest of that. In Christ, you're made alive.
Hallelujah.
Did you not know that every person that's ever been born since the Garden of Eden has been born to live forever? Been born to live forever. Now, I am declaring unto you that death has to be brought underfoot of the church. Just like sin, sickness, disease, demon power, and all the rest. Christ, the first thing Christ did was abolish death. But it said here that yet we don't see all things in subjection. And Hebrews there, the second chapter, said man has already been placed, that all things are under his feet. But then one verse said, hold on a minute. In the plan of God, the promise of God, everything, including death, has been under his feet. So, now I wrote these truths in a 40,000 publication hardbound book in the mid-80s. Boy, I got some scorching letters from religious leaders across America. But death, there's got to be the death of death.
The
last enemy. Jesus is not going to conquer death. He's already conquered it. Now he expects the church, the body, to conquer death. He said, I am resurrection. Now, can you lift your hand and say, I am resurrection? Now, right briefly, let me tell you something. Jesus said that when you see the trees, the leaves, and the buds, you know that summer is nigh. Everybody used that for Israel, but if you go into Luke, you'll find out that when Jesus said it, he said the fig tree and all the trees. You'd be a simpleton not to know that summer is nigh. Just look around us, outside right now. He said all the trees, and then he said, this generation that sees these things come to pass shall not pass away till all is fulfilled. See, the God that can raise the dead can keep us from dying. The God that can deliver from the fiery furnace can keep us from the fiery furnace. The God that can heal the sick body can prevent sickness and diseases from coming nigh thy dwelling. That's part of communion. When you go home, say the blood is over the lintel post and this. Because the Bible said at the Passover feast, apply it and sickness, curses will not come nigh thy dwelling. Take that authority in your own home. Say, Lord, the incorruptible blood of Christ, we apply it. So, now with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the church needs to be identified with him in resurrection. In Psalms 120 and verse 7, he said, I peace, and I have to give this because there's a lot of new people here. He didn't say, I am for peace. That's in italics. He said, I am peace. The Hebrew pronoun carries its own verb and doesn't use a verb. The only way on earth that that can be translated is, I am peace. Quit asking God for peace. Get identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and the plan of God and lift your hand and say, through the Word, through the shed blood, through the ministry of the Spirit, and through the name of Jesus, I am peace. Try it. Lift your hand and say, I am peace. Now, I said 1 John 4th chapter, a love. Say, I am love. I am the righteousness of God. Yes. Well, I said, through the love, through the word, through the blood, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Psalms 109:4, he said, I didn't say, I give myself to prayer. He said, I am prayer. Your whole life becomes a prayer to God. You might still spend many formal things, but whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, you can be studying and praying. You can be talking to other people and praying. And then you still have definite positive times to get alone with God. Your whole life becomes a prayer to God. The psalmist even said, I am song. He didn't say, now I'm going to sing a song, a new song unto the Lord. Finally he said, I am song.
My whole life is a song. See, this is in being, not in doing. Thank God. Now, the church has got to put death under our feet. Conquer death. That said, a generation will arise, and in Thessalonians it said, the Lord himself shall ascend with the shout of the trumpet of God, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain. Read the original text there. We which are scattered around remaining alive. God's going to raise a generation of people in the closed days of time, and he's going to preserve that generation till he comes back again. That generation is going to have the glory of God finally. That generation is going to put all of these enemies underfoot, including the last enemy, and the last enemy is death. Can you receive it? Well, then lift your hand and say, I am resurrection. Praise God. You know everything in nature pulls us down. Do you ever see anybody with bags over their eyes? It's under. As you get older, the bone mass, you get shorter. I rebuke that because I step up on the scale for examination, I say 150 pounds, and I give them my height, and every time I'm right. They say, you must weigh yourself several times a day. I say, I never weigh myself. But here a while back, she says, oh no, you're shorter. I said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. Now, everything on earth, you notice? I know somebody here at this camp was like this. I want to go and grab them and pull them like this. Everything in nature, everything in life tries to pull us down, pull us down, pull us down, pull us down. But everything in God's nature lifts us up, lifts us up, lifts us up, lifts us up. And sickness, disease lay you flat on your back, won't it? Then finally, in the natural, get on your deathbed. Then if you die, they're not satisfied. They dig a hole and put you 6 feet down in that. When is death conquered? You'll say, well, in the book of Revelation, it said, death and hell cast in. Wait a minute. Death has already been conquered. Conquered from Jesus. Death has been annulled 2,000 years ago, and the church won't accept it. We're scared of death. Did you not know, since we're not accepting, medical science now has? They're studying the aging process and reversing the ages. The aging process, that's a shame. The church has to be drugged. Drug along when medical science is getting back to what God's Word said.
Tell them the truth.
You say, well, Brother Clem, you don't appreciate my age. All right, I'll give you my Bible and you keep it overnight and you mark the promises that are for people under 30, the promise for people under 50, the promises of the people under 70. All of God's Word, for example, they that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew the strength. Didn't say if you're under 70. He'll renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. The promises of God. Psalms 103 said, crown thee with love and kindness, tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like eagles. Why did God put those promises in there? For us to dodge them and explain them away? Modern mind, that's exactly what we do. Now, when is death destroyed? It's already been destroyed. When is it cast in hell? In the book of Revelation, in the future. It's just like if there was a snake come in this building and it's killed. Something else is going on. And finally, Glenn turns around and he says, Tony, you know, we didn't carry that snake out yet. Go and take that snake and cast him in that burner down there. That's exactly what happened with death. Jesus already annulled it, undid it, abolished death. It's no longer
what he came for.
But it's going to be destroyed in hell in the future in the book of Revelation. Just like the snake is thrown away, death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire, into the pit. Now,
These promises in God's Word are so amazing. I don't know. Brother Glenn, I better announce the service tonight to continue the subject. I don't know. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, there's a scripture that says that we are to be preserved. 5:23, 1 Thessalonians. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. I didn't write it. Until the coming of the Lord. What I'm trying to say is this. I think in God's Word that God gives us enough scriptures to see that one generation on this earth is going to live forever and never die. Now, are we not near the end of time? And that generation is going to walk in an ageless situation.
Amen.
I've said it before once, forgive me. I'm so sick and tired of people around Hot Springs, Garland County. I've been all over the world in 41 nations at least. And I've never seen people so occupied with age. Sister Bernadine, how old are you? They talk about age. Get out of that thing of talking about age. Now, you ask me my age. You want the physical age, the calendar age, the mental age, the emotional age, or the spiritual age? Quit thinking if you're an old person as such. Quit consider yourself an old person. Consider yourself... your youth renewed day by day.
Hallelujah.
Consider Romans 8:11. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken and make alive your mortal body.
Amen.
The Bible said if you couldn't run with the footman in the end of time, how are you going to run with the horses? God doesn't have time in the end of time to take and nurture another generation. He's got to use some of us old ones and hold us here in life and health, believing God, and we are putting death under our feet.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. If you think it's easy to preach this, try it sometime. Now here it said, soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. And I already told you in chapter 4, verse 15, 18, those remaining scattered around alive, there's going to be some people remain. That is a special emphasis trying to show us that one generation will pass away. They'll be here alive. You say, well, Israel's a fig tree. I don't doubt that, but Jesus used the word G-E-N-E-A, and that's the same word that he used, saying the blood of all the prophets will be on this generation, G-E-N-E-A, and that happened when Titus marched in Jerusalem in A.D. 70, and the blood, the lifeblood of the nation flowed in the gutters and the streets of Jerusalem. It shows one generation of people, and it said they're going to be remain scattered around. And that is the people that's, as I said, going to see the glory. Now, John, in 1 John 2:15-17, it says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father's not in these things of the world, lust the flesh, lust the eye, pride of life. But it said this, he that doeth the will of the Father liveth and abideth forever. There it is again. God's New Testament never distinguished eternal life with earthly life and heavenly life as such. It told that there was a hereafter. It never. Jesus said, he that believeth on me will never die. Oh, well, he meant that they wouldn't be die in hell. They don't die in hell. They're still alive. In Revelation 1:10-18, Jesus said, I am the Alpha, the Omega. I am the beginning, the end. I am the great I am, almighty, first, last, alive evermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. He can use those to his sovereign will. And if he wants to lock death off of every person in this place, he can raise the dead. You believe it?
Amen.
But he can take that key of life and death and lock death out of your life and my life and keep us alive in the sovereignty of God, and it's no one's business but his own. So the last enemy that will be destroyed, because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now just briefly, what's that got to do with us today? We are to live in resurrection power, resurrection life. Lord, there's so much of it, but I just pray that you'll take this much, and please, if you can, use it for your honor, for your glory. Help us quit confessing sickness and disease. Help us to rebuke it in Jesus' name. Don't let us take some foul spirit of infirmity and pet it and pet it and pet it and doctor it and smear on it and doctor it and prescription it. May we rebuke it in Jesus' name. May we put it under our feet in Jesus' name. May we be the ones that run and do exploits. May we be the ones of Romans, the 8th chapter, that said the sons of God will be manifest. My God, grant it in Jesus' name, the manifestation of the sons of God. With every enemy, not some enemies, but every enemy put underfoot in Jesus' name. Thank you for your patience. God bless. Shall we stand?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.